Thanks, everybody, for joining us for Smart City Policy Stories. This is another episode of our podcast where we talk with local leaders around the country and discuss different issues. This is a fascinating one because this is about something coming up on Monday, April 8th. So many people across the country are talking about the eclipse. We're going to be talking about the economy of the eclipse. We're going to be talking about this with one of our favorite mayors, a mayor from Central Texas, a mayor from Georgetown, Texas, Mayor Josh Schrader. Mayor, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Matt?
Terrific. You know, it's funny. You're mayor of Georgetown, Texas, Williamson County, throughout Central Texas is right in the best line of sight to see the eclipse. People have got to be talking about this. Is there a lot of buzz about it for Monday?
Yeah, we actually had an entire workshop on it at City Council, the last meeting in March. And our emergency management coordinator gave us an update of what we're doing, and then kind of an overview of kind of what everybody in the region is doing, both, you know, city, county, state level. It's scary and fascinating all at once.
And is it that a lot of people will be, you know, driving into the region, flying in? I mean, we're expecting a lot of visitors to come into that line of sight, to that perfect corridor to see the eclipse?
Yeah, and I think what is so, tricky about it is it's not like it's a ticketed event, you know, like the Super Bowl, where you can tell exactly how many people are going to come. And it's not an event that occurs regularly, like, you know, something like Times Square in New York or Mardi Gras that has happened, you know, on an annual basis. And they can tell you within a pretty close number how many people are going to show up. Yeah. And so the only kind of comparable event that we have is the eclipse when it happened and the number of people that went to California. And so they're kind of extrapolating from that and making some estimates. But I mean, I've seen crazy, you know, between 2 million and 8 million. Well, that's a huge variance. the most conservative estimates I've seen is basically a doubling in every city's population over the course of the event. The scary example they gave us was right after the eclipse, they expect I-35 to be the equivalent of 75 sold out UT football games letting out at one time. So you can imagine where I-35 is right now on a, you know, random Thursday afternoon, and put 75 sold out UT football games on it. It's going to be crazy.
You know, I can't remember what the statistic about I-35 is, but on a daily basis, it's something like it's the most congested corridor going through Central Texas. It's the most congested corridor of any highway in America, something like that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and part of what they've told us, you know, the absolute optimal line is to the west of us, about an hour. Is where they will get the longest period of darkness. But so, you know, you kind of go up that hill country line, and whether it's, you know, Fredericksburg, Burnett, Lampasas, Brady, that's kind of the optimal line. But those folks don't have the hotel rooms to, right, to absorb those people. They don't have the restaurants. They don't have any of that. So we're going to get the 35 corridor is where everybody's going to stay and eat and drink, and which is great that you know, they're going to be a lot of dollars coming in. But then they're going to have to travel out into these more rural areas, or we anticipate that they will. And then with the potential cloud cover that's coming in on Monday, there could be kind of folks that are kind of chasing the optimal viewing point going up and down that line of sight. Which just that many people moving around is what's going to create the issues. And that's part of the reason why they also don't have a great number for us, is that the last time that this, we had a similar event, if you follow that line, it really wasn't going through any hugely populated areas. California was probably the most populated, and they got swarmed with something like 3 million people showing up there. So the fact that it's going to happen along this line where there are hotel rooms, restaurants, you know, and bars, that's why they're kind of, they're thinking that more people will make it to this area just because there's, you know, there's more places that they can stay.
Unbelievable. Well, it's going to be fascinating to see. So let's talk a little bit about Georgetown. You know, it's a great place where I think if you are visiting Central Texas, whether you visit Georgetown during the eclipse or decide to come here another day, you're visiting an incredible destination that I used to run around as a little kid. And you could always see the bones in Georgetown. You could always see that it is just a magical place. I said earlier that it has evolved from a charming town into a charming city, but yeah, it really retained that culture, really kind of sense of being a great place to live, work, and play. Tell us a little bit about Georgetown.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've been very, very fortunate to be located where we're located geographically and in the, you know, in the sphere of all the economic boom that has occurred in the Central Texas region. But we've been fortunate that for decades, for 175 years, which is last year was our 175th anniversary, along with the county, you know, Georgetown has been adamant and maintained this idea that, hey, we're not a suburb. We're not a bedroom community. We are a distinct community, which leads to, you know, exactly what you said. You can live, work, and play all in the same place. You don't have to commute for work. You don't have to live somewhere else and work here. And probably the aspect that has grown the most over the last 10, 15 years is the play aspect. And what's happened on our downtown square, which, you know, we're so fortunate that folks fought to maintain the historic downtown square. We've got this great environment of shops, restaurants, and it's just kind of this Mayberry feel that we think is so valuable because it can't be recreated. You know, you can go build you a new 500 acre master plan subdivision with, you know, a bunch of really nice houses. You can put some, you know, modern commercial amenities near it, but everybody that experiences, you know, this historic downtown square is like, no, that's different. And that's not something that, you know, you can replace it by putting in a strip center in front of the subdivision. And so people are drawn to it and they're drawn to just the sense of culture and community that you get when you're down here in the midst of this environment. I'm lucky enough that my law practice is right here on the square in Georgetown. So, you know, I get to walk out every day at lunch and see 15 people I know and you know, talk to folks from out of town to stop and talk to you. And like I said, it really is just this small town community feel, even in the midst of, you know, 100,000 population city.
You know, we talked a little bit about Georgetown and the county being prepared for the eclipse. You're, you know, certainly thinking that a lot of these, really it's otherworldly how many great restaurants you have, in one town, that it's easy to find really phenomenal dining experiences, but also fun daytime experiences for people mm-hmm. who have a couple extra hours, like hiking along the San Gabriel River, where there's dinosaur tracks in the river, things to see, you know, great parks and everything. And you've done so much preparation for it. Do you think that those restaurants, that all the, you know, kind of service-oriented folks, are they prepared? Are they on message for the eclipse, for the economy that they're going to be receiving on Monday?
No, but in a good way, in that, you know, on a random, you know, Saturday night in Georgetown, Texas, every one of those restaurants is packed. You know, you're now having to get reservations 6 weeks out to get into City Post or Golden Rule or any of the new restaurants that we have on the square. And there's just a certain number of tables that they can, you know, that they can seat in the night, and they're already at capacity. And that's one of the things our emergency management folks are talking about, is that, you know, hey, there's just only so much, you know, food that HEB can truck into this area at a given time. There's only so much gas you can get into this area at a given time. And so I think the restaurants are thrilled. I mean, April for us in Georgetown has turned into, you know, one of the craziest months of the year. We've got the eclipse happening on the 8th. Then we have our giant music festival. It's about 35,000 people coming to town for the Two Step In Music Festival. And then the very next weekend is actually our largest event of the year, which is our Red Poppy Festival. And so there'll be, 25,000 people on the square on Saturday night for Red Poppy Festival as well. And so, that's great. We love the sales tax dollars. The restaurants love the business. But, it's one of those things that it definitely puts a strain on the employees, on our, our first responders who are having to work all those events. But, what we tell people all the time is, there are cities out there that would love to have this problem, that would love to, have a problem where they got just too many people wanting to spend outside dollars in their town. So we're going to figure out how to make it work and accommodate those folks and make them feel welcome. And maybe they come in for the eclipse and drive through Georgetown and, have breakfast at Monument Cafe, but hopefully they see something they love and come back and, and spend a long time here in the near future.
Absolutely right. It's a great way to market the city. I'm sure your destination marketing folks are excited about this because they can show it off for the idea of bringing people back another day. Absolutely. Don't you have a farmer's market on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings? I can't remember.
We've got a few now. We've got one that is downtown here in the library, and I believe they are on Thursday mornings. And then we've got one at Wolf Ranch that is Saturday mornings. That's huge. It takes up half the parking lot at Wolf Ranch. I think, could be wrong on this, I think there's also one that happens out at Sun City too.
That's
maybe great. Not on a weekly basis though.
But the Wolf Ranch, for the people who are in town for a long weekend getting ready for the eclipse, that could be one for them to visit. One other thing that I don't know if people can visit or not, it's kind of switching into city planning stuff. You've done something amazing out there. I didn't really tell you I would ask about this. I didn't think I would. But you've got a neighborhood of 3D printed homes coming to Georgia. Yeah. That is the coolest thing.
It is amazing. I mean, I think Icon and those guys are going to revolutionize the way that we build things in America. And we were thrilled, had obviously heard about them and seen their story when they printed that first house at South by Southwest a few years ago. When Lennar, who's their building partner, and Hillwood, who are the developers of Wolf Ranch, came to us and said, hey, these guys would like to build a neighborhood of 3D printed homes within the Wolf Ranch subdivision. We were thrilled that they would choose Georgetown, as their first opportunity. They have been great. This is their first time doing this. This is obviously our first time walking through, all the inspection and permitting. And so there's no question there's been lots of things we've kind of had to figure out together. But one of the reasons I think that they chose to work with us is that, we were excited about them coming here and we were willing to go, hey, this is something new. It's something that we all acknowledge is a part of the building industry that needs to step into the modern age. And that means our building codes and our inspection teams have to step into the modern age too. And we welcome them with open arms and, we hope that they'll do more and more and more in Georgetown. And like I said, I think that when you talk to Jason Ballard, the CEO, one of the co-founders of it, he just has this amazing vision for what that company can do, not just on this planet, but on the moon and Mars. It's pretty cool to go tour their facility and they go, hey, everything in this warehouse is going to be on the moon. That's not something everybody can say.
When Icon got that contract with NASA to build on the moon, I thought this is obviously, not ever going to happen. And then you hear about a 3D printed house and you think, well, obviously a paper mache house will never stand. But then you're actually in a place where you see one. And I found myself punching the walls and kicking the walls because I couldn't believe this structure was sound. And here it is made out of this kind of proprietary cement. It's made to last, hundreds of years. It's design friendly. They're so cool that I think that the fact that you are going to have a whole neighborhood of these homes in a way, I hope that you're able to fill the homes with, you know, friendly residents, because I think it's going to be its own tourist attraction. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, I agree. Like we've driven by, you know, two or three times a week since they started the project. And I've got a kid in high school who's, you know, doing 3D printing up at the high school in their lab. And so, I mean, he's just fascinated, you know, seeing what they can do with those machines. And I had heard rumors about what the Gen 2 machines were going to do and look like. And so when they unveiled those, I mean, there's just no limit to what they can do. I mean, I can see them being able to start printing slabs, printing, you know, curb and gutter and roads. I mean, there's no end to what they can do. And, you know, our folks have been really pleasantly surprised to see how high the quality of the materials and the way that they do things. I think they're going to be houses that, you know, 100 years from now, people are going back and saying, yeah, those are the first ones.
And coming at the right time, right? I mean, we have a housing need in every community in this country. And so new innovations like that are welcome for sure. Well, Mayor, you know, one of the things while people are coming up there, you know, I think when they experience Georgetown, they're certainly going to see that you guys have something unique in your community. I don't know how I missed it, because I'm a native of a neighboring town where there's a minor league team associated with Nolan Ryan, but you actually got Nolan Ryan to live in your town. And it makes sense because Georgetown produces a lot of great sports talent. What's in the water up there?
Yeah, well, we like to tell our folks in Round Rock, we also stole Nile Maxwell from them, too. Nile lives out in the same neighborhood as Nolan. And you know, Nolan's been here for a long, long time, 20 years, in the same house in Cimarron. And it, you know, used to, we'd see him eating downtown at Dos Salsas. And he's a great, great guy. And it's just been such a good community member. Is got it, you know, gives back to the community. And yeah, I got asked the other day when we're going to get our first major or minor league team. And I said, well, we've got Nolan Ryan, so we got our pitcher already, so we're good to go. But yeah, it's a great asset to have for us.
Well, the Georgetown Eagles, this high school produces great talent. You guys have great sports athletes coming out of that school, and it's exciting to watch. I think for everybody listening, go visit Georgetown. If you haven't been there lately, the town continues to evolve, but in an incredible way has maintained the character and the culture that made that town great. Obviously, the eclipse is on Monday, so I think for anybody visiting the area, if you wanted a place to go visit Sunday or Tuesday or even on Monday, if you're able to get across town, get to Georgetown, check the place out. Great places to eat. Mayor Schrader, thank you so much for joining us. We sure appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.